If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings from the divine love and light of the Most High God, through the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening our seminar topic is asking the right questions to receive what you really want. So let's take a deep breath and come into a really sacred place where you touch to the presence of God. Let that be just that point where your breath stops as you take an inhalation. And before you exhale, just touch to God with your intention. And let me ask you, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being ongoing 24/7 awareness and communication, where are you right now in your relationship with God? If God or Jesus appeared before you right now and asked you, "What can I do for you?" How would you respond to that question? What do you want to ask God to do for you? Jesus said, "You have not received anything because up until now you have not asked anything of me." You know, asking the right question in the right way, isn't that the key to really getting what you want? But it's sometimes really difficult to put in words exactly what it is we do want. I think if you or I would ask probably any person at random, presuming they're on a spiritual path, "What do you really want to know?" I think you'd get a variety of responses. I know I have throughout the years, because I usually... years ago when I would do private counseling sessions with people, I would always ask them, what can we do for you? What would you like God to do for you? And, I'd get all kinds of questions. But I can't remember anyone really asking me directly what they really wanted to know. And through the years, I have come to understand that behind everything we think we want are two major questions. Number one, I want to know if God really exists. And does this God know me personally and love me? So we really want to know and experience love. And specifically, God's love for us personally. And it's rather obvious to me, at least, that every relationship, every time we go outside to form a relationship, it's simply masking this deep, deep need and desire that we have to totally belong to God and have acknowledgement of that belonging in a way that's experiential, ongoing, and tangible. So that leads to the second major question. I want to personally experience God's love. I want to personally experience God's power. And I want to personally experience God's miracles. So every single person really wants to experience the supernatural love, power, and miracles of God. We're all hungry for that. We yearn for that. We're all sick of dead religion. We want a vital experiential encounter with a real God that's really here today in this world and in our faith and in our personal lives. So no matter what we think we want to know, what we really want to know is how to experience God personally. So what does God want from us? You know, God wants a relationship. It's obvious. God wants our love. God wants our heart freely offered to Him. God wants a love relationship with us. What else does God want? Well, when somebody asked that in the Bible, the response was this. God wants us to believe in the one He has sent to redeem and restore us to right relationship with Him and one another. And that person that was sent is Jesus the Christ. So God gave us free will to choose to love and trust Him in relationship or to ignore and reject Him. And it's obvious our whole life is really our own personal journey back home. And all of the events, certainly in my life when I look back in retrospect, I can see that all of the events were designed for us to ultimately encounter God. And we encounter God, who is a spirit, by the one He sent into this world in human form to be His living physical image and the direct and purest expression of His love, which is Jesus the Christ. That was His job assignment, to make God real, to make God's heart visible to us, revealed to us. So, now let me ask you the obvious follow-up questions. Have you ever asked God to give you an experience of His reality, of His love, of His presence in your life? You know, it can be as simple as stating out loud. I think it's good to do it out loud because then you can hear yourself. Kind of makes it very real to all your levels. God, if you're really real, if you're really here now with me, would you let me experience you right now? Right now. Now expect God to respond in some way to you. Wow, I'm totally chilled out at the moment. Totally feeling this tremendous presence. Just ask, please, God, reveal Your presence to me personally. I want to know You, Lord. I want to know You, Jesus. I want to know that You love me and are with me. And let me ask you, have you ever personally met the Lord Jesus? Have you ever had a personal, direct encounter, dream, vision, However, he appears to people all the time. I hear testimonies almost every day about someone encountering Jesus. In fact, the word on the street in the Muslim countries is, have you had an encounter with that man in the white robe? And it's interesting because he comes to people who have not sought to know him, but have cried out in desperation to be shown the real truth, the truth of God. And many of these people who've had these divine encounters are very, very religious, but they've been indoctrinated in a twisted theology that has indoctrinated them into hate, hatred of those who have a different religious belief system or a different physical appearance, a different culture, a different race. And so, one gentleman, his higher up, told him to read the Bible and to write a book that would prove that everything in the Bible was made up and distorted. And at first the man said, no, I don't want to do that. That book is cursed, you know. It has a curse on it, and I don't want to touch it. And he says, don't be silly. You must do it. I want you to read that book, and I want you to write a book and prove that as this Bible is all fabricated and distorted and made up. So finally, he did that, and he was writing. But the more he read the Bible, and the more he delved into its authenticity and tried to disprove it, the more it actually proved to him that it was, in fact, truth. It wasn't distorted. It hadn't been fabricated by man. In fact, it was literally divinely inspired. So in desperation, he fell upon his knees and he cried out to God. He said, Allah, he said, I have served you since I was a little child. I have obeyed you. I have done everything you have told me to do. But I have never known you, and I've never known and experienced your love. I don't have any assurance I'm even going to heaven unless I'm martyred. Please, please, God, I want to know the real God. Help me, help me. And he collapsed on the floor, weeping and crying. Finally, he was exhausted, and he went to bed. And he slept deeper than he had ever remembered sleeping. And during the night, he had a dream towards the morning that was so vivid that he imagined that it had actually happened in his own bedroom. And what he saw was a man in brilliant white robe, and he could hear the feet with the sandals going into his room, walking. He could hear the footsteps. And he looked up and he said, who are you? And the master said, I am the one you have been seeking. Read the book. Understand what is written there, for it is truth. You have been seeking the truth, and I am the way, the truth, and the life eternal. And whoever believes in me shall have eternal life. And then, bam, the man woke up again. He was completely changed. His whole internal way he saw life, the way he thought, everything was turned around. And he began to read the Bible with just an avid thirst. And as he read it, it became illuminated his understanding. And suddenly he understood God is love. He had a direct encounter of the presence and revelation of God is love. And he became, needless to say, a follower of the true Messiah, the true God. And he went on to become a pastor and a way shower of the way to his fellow brothers and sister Muslims, who, though very, very devoted and religious, had been deceived into following a pathway of hatred and terrorism and persecution. And the path has always been and always will be the way of love. For God is love. And you can't possibly have hatred and desire in your heart to harm or kill another if you know the real God, the true God. So, the first indication that you've had a direct divine encounter with Jesus Christ is that your heart is changed. In a second, you have a change of heart that's permanent and forever. And it births within you a conviction of the truth so that you have no doubt. You just know that you know. So everything that we desire needs to come to us through the proper established channel. And the only channel, the only bridge, the only way shower that has been divinely sent to this planet to open the treasures and reveal the secrets of the heart of God and to give the keys of the kingdom to each one of us is the Lord Jesus. So again, have you ever personally met Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, the one, the only one ever sent to earth from the highest divine positive throne realms of the Most High God? No one else has ever come directly from that highest divine throne realm. So if you want to meet Jesus, invite him, ask him. Say, I want to know you. I want to know you personally. If it's true that you really are the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes unto the Father except by you, then I've got to know you. I don't want to miss what God has for me. I don't want to be deceived into following a false man-made, man-concocted doctrine. I don't want to spend my life persecuting and killing and terrorizing and abusing people. I want to know you as love. I want to be loved. I want to know love. Have you ever known love? Have you ever experienced it? I've actually met some people who have never, ever really experience love. Well, you need a touch of the spirit, the divine spirit, the true spirit of God to experience love. How could you follow something that's false and experience the one thing in all of the universes and all of eternity that's really real? And that is the love of God. So, of course, if you haven't experienced love, then you haven't ever really encountered God, the real God, the highest God, not the lower gods of the lower realms. I'm talking about the major honcho here. The other day, I felt like there was I needed to go deeper. I'm restless now. I feel my next level is pressing me to ask those questions I need to ask. And I said out loud, Holy Spirit, please teach me how to worship, to truly worship in spirit and in truth. Because it says in the scriptures that the true the true worshipers of God, the true people who truly know God, worship God in spirit and in truth. And I said, I want more of you, Jesus. I want to know everything about you. Please, Holy Spirit, teach me about Jesus, that I may truly know his heart intimately. And I barely got the words out before I felt this tremendous power tingling down from my head. It was like somebody had poured warm oil over my head, and it was causing me to chill, even though it was really hot in the, you know, room I was in, and hot outside, too. But I felt chills from the top of my head all over my body, and an overwhelming sense of love just washed over me. And I could no longer speak or do anything but just sit there in silence as that divine presence, that overwhelming presence, just filled me with love. And the only thing I could express was silent tears. But they were tears of loving and gratitude and awe. That's where that reverential awe of God comes in. The word's been translated fear in the Bible, but it actually isn't fear, it's reverential awe. And so I was given an experience of true worship in spirit and in truth. Because only our spirit can meet with God directly. Not our mind, and not our flesh. No flesh can stand in the presence of God and survive, it says in the scriptures. Flesh, in the Bible, simply means the carnal, ego-driven lower self. To the carnal self, the presence of God is a consuming fire that burns up that dross like chaff from the wheat. So our spirit can intimately merge with God's spirit. And that's how we know God, in spirit and in truth. Because God's Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And that Spirit of truth bears witness to the truth in all things. How eagerly our Father, our Creator God, waits for us to ask to receive His Holy Spirit. How eager He is to give that to us. So, after you've met Jesus, after you've offered your heart to the Lord and taken Him as your supreme way shower back home to the kingdom of the Father, the next thing to ask is to receive the Holy Spirit, to be baptized, immersed, filled, dunked in that Holy Spirit of truth. For it is that Holy Spirit that will reveal the truth of God's heart to us and to you. So God is yearning to reveal His heart, His mind, His power, His wonderful miracles to us directly and personally. And He desires to operate through us with His power and His miracles and His loving heart and His creative mind. He has crafted and fashioned us in His own image and likeness to allow His Spirit to function through us as His living temple and personifier on earth. So, above all things, God desires to give us the keys to His kingdom. So we need to know God's heart, to commune heart to heart with God. As we draw near to Him and enter into His direct presence, God's presence is invisible but is powerfully experiential. God's presence is always experiential. Jesus gave the analogy of God's presence, God's Holy Spirit, as being like the wind. You can see the evidence of it as it blows through the trees, but you can't see it directly. We have faith that the wind is, so we need to have that kind of same faith for the Holy Spirit, because it comes as it comes, and it goes as it goes, and we're not in control of the Holy Spirit. You can never dictate to the Holy Spirit what to do. It does only the will and the manifestations of the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And the difference between the Holy Spirit and other spirits and entities that inhabit the other realms and dimensions is that the Holy Spirit only reveals Jesus Christ to you and his teachings. He will not speak of any other spirit. That's how you can tell when you're dealing with the Holy Spirit, is that the Holy Spirit only points you to Jesus the Christ. So, when you know God's heart through its revelation, through Jesus, and through the presence of the Holy Spirit quickened within you, then and only then will God begin to reveal the secret things of his kingdom with you. And that's where the supernatural miracles reside. Because miracles are always born through love and the releasing of your faith. It's the love of God that gives miracles, because that's his nature. And a miracle through love transcends the law, the flesh, and the God of the lower realms through grace. So everything that God has to give to you is given freely through grace. You don't have to do any kind of practices. You don't have to manipulate or connive or set out agendas or do anything at all, but simply ask and receive by faith. So what is faith? Faith is simply trusting God. But it's very difficult to trust someone if you don't know them. We tend to trust people that we have opened our hearts to and gotten to know so much that we find them dependable and trustworthy. So it's important to ask to have a direct experience with God, to meet and know Jesus Christ, and to be filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit, which Jesus will do if you ask him. And then you have every right in the world to approach God directly without any intermediary, without any religious dogma, without anything, but simply as a trusting child would approach a very, very beloved father. I know not all of us have had such an example of a father in today's modern world, so sometimes just the word father kind of turns us off. So if it does, just replace the beloved. I like to call God the beloved. As long as we realize that the beloved that I'm speaking of is the true God of the highest positive realms of spirit, and his image in this world, Jesus Christ, his extension of love into human form, Jesus the Christ. I'm not talking about any other beloved here. And that beloved will dwell in your heart consciously, experientially, and permanently and eternally if you invite that presence to quicken within you. So when you desire only what God desires to give you, God will fulfill the desires of your heart. God will give you his entire kingdom and all he possesses. So like Moses, you will speak face to face and mouth to mouth with God. And God will reveal his glory to you, so much so that like Moses, your face will become so radiant with divine illumination that you'll need to cover it just like he did when he descended to the base camp after spending 40 days on the mountain in the direct presence of the Lord. My experience, too, personally, is that when I only wanted more of God and I forgot everything else, that even the slightest little mundane preferences or need or wish that would just fleet through, you know, have a fleeting impression through my mind, that those little things would be instantly fulfilled. I experienced such love that God would arrange little experiences that he knew I would delight in. And it was so obvious to me that God's arrangement had brought me into that association or that encounter or that experience simply because he knew it would give me joy. I have those experiences all the time now. So it's interesting to see how powerful simply loving God and desiring to go deeper into knowing and experiencing him can be. And most of us, I don't think, realize that this is really what we want. And we just don't know how to ask for what that is that we really want. So God has the power to give you anything whatsoever that you desire. However, if what you want is less than his highest good for you, what he has purposed for you, for your highest divine destiny, then automatically you come under the God of the material world, called in some traditions Kal, which is the time-binding spirit of ignorance and darkness. We could call it the ego mind's master, because it's all about the material world and personal aggrandizement and accomplishment without God. So when you come under the God of the lower realms, which is really the God of materiality, the Kal, who is the prince of this world and the lower dimensions beneath the true divine kingdom of God, God, an old Kal will give you material things, but in the process will steal, rob, and destroy you, and leave you spiritually bankrupt. So, make no mistake about it, the God of this world has one desire, and that is to destroy you because he has a great hatred for you, because you are an heir to the kingdom of God, and you have the power that can crush his head and defeat every approach that he could possibly make in trying to invade your life. Do you remember during the 40 days when Jesus, after he was baptized in the River Jordan by his cousin John, he went off to be tempted by the devil in 40 days of fasting in the wilderness? And the old Kal power, or Satan, tempted Jesus. And one of the temptations was that he took him to a high place where he could see all of the kingdoms of the earth. And the devil said to Jesus, I will give you all the kingdoms and all the power of the kingdoms and everything on this earth if you will bow down and serve me. And of course, Jesus refused. And quoted scripture, which Jesus always did, encountering the lies of the lower power. So the Kal power tempts us away from going directly to God and through God's established way through Jesus and his loving grace. And ways that he does that is to try to trick us into going around Jesus or omitting, etching God out or Jesus out or the Bible out or the scripturally laid out plan of salvation. He'll try to get you going around that. He wants you to worship elemental spirits or the spirits in the second heaven, which are really, in most cases, fallen spirits or even demonic spirits. Or he wants you to worship extraterrestrials and star beings or the gods of the lower kingdoms. There are many god forms, but there's only one overall highest divine true God. And the others are like demigods or little gods with a little g. But the call power rules the lower kingdoms of duality. He is the Lord of the knowledge of the tree of knowledge spoken of in the Bible in Genesis, that when you eat of it, you become as wise as the gods, which was his lie. But you buy into the knowledge of good and evil, which is, again, man trying to create his own path, his own way, without the authority of God, trying to sneak around. So all of the practices that involve personal human ego mind and shenanigans come under the jurisdiction of the call power. That's why they eventually cause you to lose your power and your ability to connect directly with God, because it forms a real serious barrier between you and direct relationship when you have placed others in between yourself and that pure direct approach through the heart of love. So I would be so bold as to say it's impossible to know God without approaching and coming to God in love. Jesus said that we must be born again and become like a little child to enter the kingdom of heaven. And a little child is full of faith, complete faith and trust in God, before that has been conditioned and programmed out of them by the unbelief of this world and those who are of this world. But a little child in his natural state only responds with love and trust. That's the nature of the child. So the call power is always going to try to get you away from Jesus, to direct you away from approaching God directly and asking God directly for what you want. And we do that because we've been programmed that we're not worthy to go to God directly, or we're told that there's no such thing as God, that there's ascended masters, or there's this one or that one, or different spirits. And so we'll talk to everybody but God, our father and mother, directly. We'll go to any spirit and seek its information and counsel, but we don't go to the whole spirit, the Holy Spirit, or to Jesus directly. So that shows you how much this world is under the power of that prince of the world, it's called in the Bible, the Kal Niranjan, the lord of the material and psychic planes. So Kal just loves to get you involved in psychism, in spiritism, in divination, in magic. He doesn't have anything real to give you, but he will trick you by convincing you that you can get something and succeed in your objectives without going to God. But God is the only one that grants us the anointing that enables us to succeed in anything. It is God that gives the power for success. It is God who gives the power to achieve anything. It is God that gives the power to achieve wealth. Most people in the flesh that want to kiss up to the call power do so because they want material benefits. But the call power never gives you real material benefits. He's a father of lies. So the only language he speaks is deceit and lying. So you can't believe a word he says because his agenda is to take you out, to rob you of your divine destiny, of your anointing, of your power, of the ability you have to directly act and speak on behalf of God yourself. You've been given that authority. The call power lost that ability through his rebellion. That's why he hates you and tries to take you out. So it's important to go directly to God. Don't go through spirits, lying spirits, any kind of spirits. Go directly to God, directly to the Holy Spirit within you. So everything we receive from God must be received by faith, not through New Age gimmicks or tools or schemes or somebody promising you that they can activate your DNA or they can give you some tool to erase your karma. What nonsense. The only thing that will ever blot out your karma is the blood of Jesus Christ. That was what was shed to remove the stain of sin and error permanently and forever from your consciousness. And nobody but the Lord Jesus Christ has that authority to forgive sin. We do have the power to speak in his power and his authority. He's given that to his followers. We can operate under his directives through the Holy Spirit, but only coming to God directly with a sincere desire to repent, which means to change from your former way of living that was against the divine directive. Only God has the power, through Jesus, to wipe your slate completely clean and give you a brand new life. Again, that's given through faith, not through your works. You can never come to the end of your karma if you're trying to work it out. The call power who has jurisdiction over the laws and the karmic laws and the reincarnation, his agenda is to keep you recycling in the material universes forever under his power and dominion. Do you think he's going to encourage you to be washed white as snow in the blood of Jesus? No way. He'll tell you that Jesus didn't die on the cross. He'll tell you that Jesus didn't resurrect from the dead, but rather was revived in the tomb. That's the lie, you see, that the call power has inserted to try to trick you. The call power tells you that the Bible is all made up. It doesn't have any truth. It's people's imagination. It's all fables and mythology. And yet, every day they find new proof and evidence in archaeology, in science, that the Bible is absolutely spot accurate. So the kingdom of God is entered solely by faith. It's proactive. It's walked out step by step. So that even faith comes to us as a gift of God, because when we're born, we have a certain measure of faith placed by and with us. And that portion expands and grows as we grow it up in our walk with God. And as we follow in the ways of God, that faith increases. It's designed to increase with our relationship. You know, you get so you don't even think twice about it. You absolutely trust every detail to God. You do the best you can with the strength and the intelligence and the guidelines that God has given you, but you leave the details and the whys and the hows and all of those little things. You leave those to God. So faith is active trust. It's very, very active. It's not passive. The only thing that's passive is our worry. We stop worrying. We stop being concerned. We trust that God is in control of our lives. No matter what happens in the world or in the cosmos, God is in charge. And He is specifically ordering the steps of the righteous. Those who have come in through the door and the gate of Jesus Christ are made righteous by His shed blood on the cross. So even our righteousness does not come from our works or our own personal effort. It is, again, a gift from God. So your goodness, your righteousness, your right standing with God is a gift. The faith that you need is a gift. The love that you seek is a gift. Salvation and eternal life is a gift. That whosoever calls upon the Lord Jesus and receives of Him has given the gift of eternal life. You are assured and promised that you, when you leave this body, will go directly to Jesus and to the presence of God in the highest heavens. You won't be stuck in one of the astral bardos. You won't go to the hell worlds. You won't do anything of that nature. You'll go directly to the highest divine realm. So that too, your salvation, your eternal life after you die and leave your body, is also given as a gift. So you just walk out the what through faith. And the only thing that matters is to love and trust God. And have faith that all things are being worked out in your life for the highest good. At all times, no exceptions. Everything in your life, every event, past, present, and yet to be, is being worked together for good in the lives of those who love God. That's your only caveat here, is those who love God. So here's that key again for those who, to see if you in fact do love God. When you love God, and allow God to handle all the rest, that is demonstrated in a way that's very, very obvious to people in the world. Because if you do love God, you will love Jesus. That came out of the words of Jesus when He said, "If you love the Father, you will also love Me, for the Father has sent Me. And I do only what the Father tells Me to do." So who most perfectly reveals God's love and God's heart and nature to us is the one who truly knows God. You will see that heart of God, that love of God, that nature of God being revealed physically through that person's life. And that person will love God. And that person will love you. So if you love God, you will love people. You will love the ones that God has created and placed His own spirit within. So we cannot, it's just not possible to love God and know God at all if you hate and seek to harm or kill another human being. You know, all that hatred and desire to harm and hurt dies with the old carnal self the minute you're born again to the love of God through accepting Jesus. It just dies. You know, you find it hard to even swat a fly after that. You just become really soft and sweet inside and gentle. That's why Jesus is known as such a gentle energy. He may be the powerful Lion of Judah and the King of Kings, but He's as gentle as a tender lamb in your experience of Him. So if you say you know God and terrorize and hate and try to kill others because they're outwardly different, or you persecute people or try to harm anybody in any way, then you're not following the true God. But you may be, in fact, following the God of the negative realms that has been called the devil and Satan, the father of lies, the deceiver and the accuser. So deception and accusation and telling lies is the nature of that negative power. It promises you everything, but takes everything from you. So you are known as a devotee and follower of the true God only by your love. You know, you get the love going and God takes care of even the details of the rest of your nature. So to follow any other lower God, you will not have that love evidenced in your life. And moreover, it's impossible to really have any kind of fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life unless you've been born again spiritually and have received the birthing and the activation by being baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues in the heavenly language, which is, again, what the occult power tries to rob you of. They'll try to keep you away from any of the charismatic gifts of the Holy Spirit. Instead of prophecy, he wants you to turn to psychics and divination. He doesn't want you to be a spokesperson to hear from God directly and speak God's will and words directly. He doesn't want you to work in the miracles of healing. He wants you to go to healers who will use crystals or rocks or some shamanic process. He doesn't want you to operate in the same miracle power that Jesus Christ operated in. That's your birthright. You were created to be a prophet and a high priest and to minister the same miracles that Jesus manifested. The call power would have you depend upon Nasara and these gimmicky, one day the government's going to get overthrown, and you're all going to have millions of dollars put in your account. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Do you know that that's just one more plan that mankind has set afoot out of his own vain imagining to provide for himself instead of allowing God to give him the gift of materialization and miracles? You're designed to be able to speak to the elements, and they must obey you, but you have to speak through the authority given you by Jesus through his Holy Spirit, not through some magic incantation, not through some wizardry. Cheap magic doesn't cut it. You're designed to be an ambassador from the direct kingdom of the Most High God, that your word could cause the very mountains to tremble and the very dimensional doorways to open and every single power in the lower heavens to stand down and let you pass. Because when you have that authority, nothing in heaven or on the earth can stand in your way. Everything you say must be done according to what you have decreed. You have the power to release and to bind. You have the power to totally change the destiny and outcome on this planet. But the call power would convince you that somebody is going to come and do it from another dimension. All the extraterrestrials will land and take over and show you how to do things right. No, that's not what we've been told by Almighty God to do. That's not our job. You people on earth have been given dominion here by Almighty God. But you gave over that dominion by buying into and following the negative power and getting involved in the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So you created, allowed, promoted, and keep this place of duality and sin and pain and destruction and terrorism intact because you haven't come to the true God and asked what you really wanted to have asked and answered and known. You really want to know God. You want to know God's power. You want to know God's love. You want to know God's heart. You want to experience God's miracles. And moreover, you want to know how to manifest those miracles and supernatural abilities yourself. So when you're ready to come to God, humbly and sweetly like a little child, and ask for your birthright, which is yours for the asking, it will be given to you. Your life will be changed, and you'll know what it is to be loved, to be provided for, to be completely without fear in the face of death or earth changes or whatever's coming down on the planet. You know that God will always be there before you, behind you, to your right, to your left. You will live and move and have your being in God, and you will know it, and you will experience it. And you'll be so filled with the love of God that you will notice that, and everything else will sort of pale by comparison. You'll know who rules the earth and the sun and the moon and the stars and the universes and the cosmos, who created and ordered all things. You'll be on face-to-face, mouth-to-mouth, spirit-to-spirit, 24/7 communion with the Divine Beloved. And everything, everything that your heart desires will then be given to you, and even eternal life. So those are things to consider, those of you who are really, really serious about a real relationship with God. Not a second-hand one, not a third-hand one, not a literary one, an academic one, but a real, intimate love relationship. That is God's will for you and God's plan for you. And you will never go wrong by asking God for that directly. And now is as good a time as any, because now is the time for salvation. And salvation is a complete restoration of your wholeness on every level, heart, mind, body, soul. The whole enchilada is restored through grace, through God's love. Let's take a deep breath and go out chanting, On I, You. On I, You. Been listening to Commander Lady Athena, a servant of God, a lover of God, and a server and lover of humanity. I wish you all a God encounter and a direct one-on-one with the Lord Jesus Christ and the truth. Have a blessed week, and God willing, I'll be with you next week. Adonai.